We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
There's no question in my mind that if that's what Hub reported, he heard it from the horse's mouth, that I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, I've worked with Hub for many years. I wouldn't question his take on any of it.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
Good.
Hub Arkish.
I keep trying to come to some logic in my mind as to why he and the McCaskey family do this, but his position of management and ownership is that I am not an expert on the business that I own.
Hub Arkish, not getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
In 40 minutes, one of Ryan Poles' good friends, he was texting with him today, played with him for 4 years at Boston College, Tyrone Pruitt. We'll join the show at 5:20. Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs for The Athletic and wrote a big story about the inner workings of the Chiefs front office, including what Ryan Poles' specific roles were, he will join us in an hour and 20 minutes. But right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Also on behalf of the Marquee Sports Network, watch Bear Essentials Tuesdays at 7, only on Marquee. It is Hub Arkish. Good afternoon, Hub. How are you doing today?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're doing well. It's obviously a busy day. What do you think of the Ryan Poles hire?
Well, I think it's probably a good hire. It's as much as we know about any of these guys, he was certainly one of the very hot candidates. I think it speaks very well for him that he's been a finalist for the first two jobs that filled. And, you know, I don't think losing to Joe Shane is any shame at all. Shane was a just slightly more experienced, similar candidate. And the fact that the Giants had Poles as a number two, and the Giants have been much more successful hiring GMs than the Bears. You know, when you look at George Young and Ernie Accorsi and Jerry Reese and Dave Gettleman, I mean, these are their most recent. They've all been part of building Super Bowl winners. So, that they basically endorse him as well. As I assume Bill Polian and everybody I've talked to in Kansas City, I think you got to feel pretty good about it. I got to be honest, there's one thing that I can't get out of the back of my mind, which is that take a look at his resume and take a look at Ryan Pace's resume, put them side by side, and they are identical. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, Ryan didn't grow into the job. Hopefully Ryan Poles will, but it's a little strange when you look at them that they're literally identical.
Right down to the initials.
I hadn't even thought about the initials, actually. But yes, I guess you can add that, too.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking about that earlier. At least there were several different regimes in Kansas City in terms of John Dorsey, in terms of Brett Veach.
Scott Pioli.
Scott Pioli was there. Chris Ballard was a part of things there. So at least it's some different people with some different philosophies within one structure. Does that feel different than Pace's experience with Mickey Loomis in New Orleans?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's also been a lot of people that have come and go in New Orleans. I don't want to get off on the wrong foot. I'm not saying it's a negative or a problem. it's just something to look at. You know, we're starting to evaluate here. We're starting to guess. I haven't even, you know, talked to or met the man yet.
Yep.
I think we're going to learn a lot more, you know, when this head coaching hire is made. And, you know, I go back to the more important part, which is that, you know, very well respected around the league. And I did some specific research on the draft picks or the draft overall that the Chiefs have had since he became director of college scouting and then his 1 year as director of player personnel. And it's pretty impressive stuff. And I will tell you that the Chiefs are one of only three teams after all these years, 5 years later, that I've been able to confirm definitely had Patrick Mahomes rated ahead of both Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky. And I guess, you know, for a lot of Bears fans, it's really just going to start there. And it was Matt Nagy. I can't remember if he told us on the record or I came about it off the record. But his description, you know, when talking about the draft ratings was that on Patrick Mahomes, they had generational talent. And the guy who was the director of that scouting department was Ryan Poles.
Yeah, and Ryan Poles, a former offensive lineman with Matt Ryan at Boston College, is said to have had a big impact in drafting Creed Humphrey in the second round and Trey Smith in the sixth round this past year and kind of overhauling the offensive line that got decimated by Tampa in the Super Bowl last year. So while everyone is interested in his plans for Justin Fields, also I would imagine, Hub, Larry Borum, Tevin Jenkins, Sam Mustafa, a decision on Cody Whitehair's future with the team. Like, he's going to have a huge say, obviously, and an expert opinion on the state of the Bears' offensive line.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had more than a huge say on Creed Humphrey. He was the director of player personnel, and you know, his own playing experience was on the offensive line, but you know, he's been away from that for a long time. So I think I look at the roster in general, and yeah, hopefully he will have some expertise on the offensive line. Fortunately for him, he's at least got a little bit more to work with there than some other areas coming in, and we'll see what he decides. And by the way, when you mention Creed Humphrey, don't forget Nick Bolton. Now there is one other thing that jumps out at you, though, and this, again, is very similar to Ryan. In the last six drafts, the Chiefs have had two first-round picks. So they are not at all shy about trading away those picks. We'll see, you know, if that is a method of operation that he continues here in Chicago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Frank Clark was a big draft day trade, and or at least draft compensation trade, and some other things like that. I wonder what you, Hub Arkish, think of the process so far from the Bears' perspective. You've been passionate about them needing to hire a GM first. I talked to somebody who told me definitively that Ryan Poles is going to be in charge of the head coach choice, and I hope that is the case from my sources. But yeah, I'm wondering what you think of the process at this point, up to and including George McCaskey at O'Hare himself to pick up Ryan Poles last night.
Yeah, George might not have worn his vintage Bears jacket. It might not have been quite as obvious, but other than that, and I just say that in fun. I'm not criticizing him for that. You know, Matt, I don't know any more about the process than anybody else who claims to, who hasn't been in the room. I do know that there were two pivotal things for me. The GM had to come first, and the GM has to pick the coach, not the committee. I would feel better if I knew that that Ryan Poles was Bill Polian's first choice, as well as George McCaskey's. I kind of assume that he is, because I don't know why they would pay Polian all this money and bring in that level of expertise and then not follow his recommendation. And now I'm anxious to see what happens with the head coaches. I mean, basically, he's, I think, already meeting with Jim Caldwell today. You know, Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus are scheduled to be here. Will he add candidates of his own? And either related or unrelated to the Bears, what will it say about Eric Bieniemy's chances of ever getting a job if he does not want to interview him for this one? And why not add Dave Tobe to the list, somebody you know an awful lot about, who everybody I talk to thinks would be an outstanding candidate? So, you know, really interesting to see what the next couple of days hold.
Do you agree? Because I'm with you on everything you just said there. Spieg says he heard from a source that for sure it will be Ryan Poles' decision on the coach. I said in response to that, I believe his reporting, but George, 10 days ago when he spoke, said ultimately these two hires will be mine. And if it is Caldwell Quinn, or Eberflus, it is, of course, possible that Ryan Poles was put in touch with them and had influence in them getting second interviews, but it's going to be hard for me to believe that he had autonomy in hiring the head coach if it's one of the finalists that had been interviewed before Ryan Poles got the job.
Well, I get where you're coming from, Danny, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I'm going to take him at his word once I get to talk to him, you know, and at this point, we're just kind of speculating on the rest of it. He's had the job for, you know, 6-7 hours. Caldwell was already scheduled to be in the building. I would be a little disappointed if he didn't have a name or two that he wanted to talk to before he made a final decision. Now, that said, there are various reports as to why he got the job and how he interviewed. And there have been a few reports, and again, I don't put a lot of stock in any of this until I can hear for myself, that he insisted that he would not take the job if he didn't have full, you know, control of hiring of the head coach. But it could very well be that one of the reasons he got the job is because he told them that Eberflus and Caldwell and Quinn would be three of his top choices. You know, I find it hard to believe that he took the job without at least having some comfort in them as options. And the rest, we've got to wait now. You know, we'll find out. We always do. But we're all just kind of speculating on it right now.
Do you have someone you like more than others among those three, Hub, Eberflus, and Caldwell and Quinn?
You know, Matt, I wrote last week my top three. It's up at ShawLocal.com. My number one is Todd Bowles, and I'm not coming off that. He is my first choice. Mm-hmm. My second choice was not on my list originally, but I really had Brian Daboll growing on me. And one of the big things that I love about Daboll that I don't even know if people realize, that half of his 22-year coaching career was spent with Bill Belichick. And here's a guy out of the Patriot way who's the only one off that chain that has a very different personality. And then you look at what he's done with Buffalo and Josh Allen. And then for my third choice, I wrote that, you know, it would be Jim Caldwell. I'm just troubled by the fact that he's 67 years old, and this could be, I don't know if this is a rebuild or a reboot, but even if it's a reboot, they're going to have to rebuild in a year or two. And I'd like to be hiring somebody that I think is in it for the long haul. Now, I know that's age discrimination, and that's not acceptable, but just giving my honest evaluation. And so I moved off Jim Caldwell to Matt Eberflus. And so, you know, Caldwell and Eberflus are guys that I would, you know, clearly be happy with for different reasons. I am not a bit, I would have loved it if they'd hired Dan Quinn, you know, 7 years ago when they had the chance. But I just, you know, the way that thing came apart in Atlanta and the trouble that he had getting the right assistants in place, and I just don't think he did the miraculous job with the Cowboys defense that people think he did this year. Again, guy who took a team to a Super Bowl, a young team, and so I'm not saying it would be an awful choice, but I'm not nearly as high on that choice as I would be on the other two or Todd Bowles.
I know we've talked to you about Brian Flores, and you said you wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Does it at all change if it is hired by Ryan Poles, given that they're both BC alums and reportedly have a relationship?
No. I just think I think that Brian Flores is a bad candidate at this point. Everything went wrong in his first 3 years at Miami. He wasn't ready. All my sources are telling me that it was mostly his fault. And to get him fresh off of that without a chance to learn from it or take a step back and earn another shot, you know, listen, I'm sure this is being recorded. If he's the choice, I got to live with it. But I would not be at all happy if he was the choice.
That's it. What more can you expand on that? Because, like, when you say it all went wrong, they did win 10 games and 9 games without any subsequent, like, relevant quarterback play. You know, they did win games with a not spectacular roster.
Yeah, I think that he had 2 wins over winning teams in his last 17 or 18 wins, whatever it was. You know, they beat the teams they should have. They brought in some young talent. But at the end of the day, when I say it all went wrong, it came down to a him or me amongst the general manager and the head coach. And the owner chose the general manager. You know, the guy went through 4 offensive coordinators in 3 years, including that goofy dual offensive coordinator setup he had this year, which I feel bad saying because Eric Studeville was one of them, and Eric was here in Chicago for a long time. He's a longtime NFL running backs coach, knowledgeable offensive guy. So give him the job. Let him be the coordinator. I just don't see anything on Brian Flores' resume that would appeal to me as the new head coach of the Bears.
Interesting.
talking to Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. Hub, after that outrageous weekend, what are your thoughts on the NFL overtime rule? That's right. I needed to ask Danny. I want to know what Hub thinks. I just want them to make the subtle adjustment when the postseason comes to guarantee each team one possession. That's the only little adjustment that I would like.
I've been writing it for years. I don't think it's any more fair in the regular season than it is in the postseason. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, it could be a simple rule. You go to overtime, both teams tied to get there. Each team gets the ball one time, and if after that you don't have a clear winner, then you can play sudden death. But to play that game and get to overtime, and Buffalo should have stopped them, but Kansas City couldn't stop Buffalo in the last 2 minutes either. And so it's not fair. Buffalo should have gotten the ball and a chance to score a touchdown, and then you can go to sudden death. I don't understand why that's even controversial or where the question comes in. I'd like to hear from somebody who'd want to make a case that the rule is right the way it is.
Can you imagine if the Cubs gave up a run in the top of the 10th inning and were just denied the opportunity to bat in the bottom of the 10th? I can't, Hub. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And it's in any sport, Matt. You know, I mean, in basketball and hockey, you know, you play whether it's, you know, multiple overtimes or going to a shootout. But both teams get an equal chance once they've tied. Football's the only one I know of where they don't.
Do you want to hear my idea, Hub?
Sure. Yeah, as long as you're not going to defend the current one, I do.
No.
All right, so here's the idea.
Buckle up.
Because part of the idea is that you can't play, you know, you don't want to play football forever. The safety and the ties exist. The idea would be rules are the same. However, instead of a coin toss determining who gets the ball, you would bid on opening field position. So each coach would instruct their captain to walk out to the 50-yard line with an envelope, and in that envelope would have what starting yard line they were willing, what yardage line they were willing to start at. So if the Chiefs said, we'll start at the 10, and the Bills said, we'll start at the 5, then the Bills get the ball starting at the 5-yard line. If they drive down the field and score a touchdown, the game is over. But at least they would have had to go 95 yards. And if the Chiefs stop them and force a punt, they could then win with a field goal because both teams would have two possessions. It would remove the randomness of the coin flip. It would add an element of strategy. And if both teams said, we'll start with the ball at our own 1-yard line, that's the flaw in my plan, and then you got to go to the coin toss. What do you think?
There's another flaw in your plan, Dan. You're not adding strategy. You're adding gambling.
I'm adding game theory.
Well, call it what you will. No, I think that's a ridiculous idea. Let me put it another way. There are other better ideas, in my opinion. So, you know.
No, it's fine. You can call it ridiculous.
Hub, you're being way too nice.
You enjoyed
right
Shane,
now.
Tanny, yeah, and Speaks, all and of most of the audience.
He brought it up yesterday, and we just couldn't stop hammering him. The idea of the envelopes coming out and, like, you know, Scott Hockley, or is that his name? Whoever out there with a letter opener. Like, all right, here we go. It's time for the ceremonial letter opening, Hub. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with strategy. It's like playing The Price is Right. You know, I mean, it's a game show.
We have a coin toss right now.
I said, there's nothing worse than that, you know. Yours isn't worse than that. It's just a close second, that's all.
Thank you. All right, good. How about that, Speaks? It's better than what we currently have now. I'll take it.
What's the Super Bowl? What are we looking at here? I mean, my God, Niners-Rams NFC Championship, like we all predicted.
Yeah, and that's the one I really haven't made up my mind about yet. It's too close to call for me. The other one I'm pretty comfortable with. I don't want to discount what the Bengals have done in any way, and they're very, very impressive, but I don't think they can play with the Chiefs. They may play with them for two or three quarters. The Chiefs' defense. Now here's the big caveat in that game. That's with the Honey Badger on the field. You saw what happened when Tyrann Mathieu went down. I believe he's in the concussion protocol. And if he can't go, then it's a whole different story, because then the Chiefs go back to one of the worst pass defenses in the league, which they were the first 5 weeks of the season. With him out there, they've become one of the better pass defenses in the league. And I mean, my Lord, the Bears, you know, used a great pass defense to beat the Bengals. So I definitely like the Chiefs in the AFC. assuming that Matthew goes. I haven't made up my mind yet about the Rams and the Niners. My gut tells me the Rams are the hot team. You know, I mean, they're both hot, but the Rams have been hotter and more impressive until you look at that second half. And, you know, and how can that happen? You know, when you're running away and getting ready to bury them. So I just don't know yet about the NFC game. I know I'm really excited to see it.
What do you make of the Sean Payton news?
Well, is there news? I mean, the fact that you know, the owner said, I'm waiting to hear from him.
He stepped away today. He had a press conference. He's done.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I've been so caught up in the Bears, I wasn't even paying attention to that.
Yeah. Sean Payton has said that he will not be coaching in 2022, and he's no longer the coach of the Saints. He's under contract through 2024. He says he could see coaching in his future, but he is officially out in New Orleans.
Apparently it was a very entertaining press conference. We'll need to catch up on it after the show as well.
Yeah, he's I was looking at it last night and this morning. He's actually younger than I thought he was. I think he's only 57 years old. I apologize. That's shocking to me. I've spent the last couple hours trying to get all my Bear stuff done and wasn't even paying attention. Well, I just said it's shocking. Now, you know, when you think about where the team is at, there's obviously no good answer to that quarterback situation coming. And while the defense is pretty good, it's getting a little bit older. And my gut tells me that he thinks that this was the best they're going to see for the next couple of years, not the worst. And it probably is time. He's been there a long time. You know, we've heard about this theory of staying after 10 years. He's been there, what, 16, 15, something like that? So I guess I shouldn't be as shocked as I am, but still, yeah, I guess what I'm shocked about is with, I guess all 8 head coaching jobs still open, that he's stepping away and ruling out the possibility that he'd want to take one of the others. So that tells you that he's probably burnt out a little bit. I have been hearing that he can pretty much name his price if he wants to go into somebody's broadcast booth. And, you know, what more does he have to accomplish? Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Hub, thank you very much. Enjoy the games. And by the time we talk next week, the Bears will probably have a coach. So thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Hub Arkish. Coming up in 20 minutes, Tyrone Pruitt, who played 4 years at BC with Ryan Poles, was texting with him today, will join the show. For anyone saying, well, bring Sean Payton to Chicago. He says he doesn't want to coach this year. And Albert Breer said that they did make overtures about trading for him. He wasn't interested, whether you believe that or not. He is going to take a year off, make a boatload of money in TV, and then probably coach the Dallas Cowboys. But if anyone hires him for the next 3 seasons, they have to give compensation to the Saints. Like, so the Saints own his coaching rights. So he either stays retired, or if he coaches elsewhere, you've got to work out a trade with the New Orleans Saints.
Let's go ahead and plant this flag right now. The Amazon broadcast team for their Thursday night package next year is Al Michaels and Troy Aikman. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth is your Sunday night NBC team. And Joe Buck and Sean Payton is your number one NFC broadcast team. I'll plant that flag here on the 25th of January.
It makes a lot of sense. I'd be kind of upset if I was Greg Olson, who's the number 2 analyst at Fox and is just awesome.
Get jumped by a coach who's never done it.
Yeah, Greg Olson's so good at it that I could see him, if he's got a good agent, kind of making a power play for the number one seat at Fox if Aikman leaves. Andrew Marchand, the sports media reporter of the New York Post, said that ESPN is considering making a run at Al Michaels for Monday Night Football, so that might complicate things over at Amazon.
And guys, remember, we've got Richard Deitch tomorrow, too. I'm sure he'll have a thought or two on Sean Payton.
Yeah, I wonder if Frank Gifford and Don Meredith could join Al Michaels in that Monday night booth.
It'd be a full circle story, no question about it. One of Ryan Poles' good friends and ex-teammates in 15 minutes. More from Ryan Poles in his own words next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think if you look around the league, you'll see various instances of dysfunction. And that relationship between the general manager and the head coach is absolutely critical. In our conversations with Bill Polian, he's told us it's that relationship between the general manager and the head coach, and the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback, that will determine the success of your team. So we don't want somebody that's always agreeing with each other. We want vigorous debate, but at the end of the debate, we want people breaking on the plan and united behind.
That's George McCaskey. This is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
And one more thing, screw Olin Krutz. He said out of nowhere. It was very kind of shocking that he went there. Also, I plan to pick up the GM in a jacket at O'Hare.
I love that. I think it's funny, and I think it was very telling, and I think that all of our common sense should have said, well, Ryan Poles is the guy.
That's the guy.
I should have just reported it. I should have said, sources, Ryan Poles, next Bears general manager. I would have gotten thousands of retweets. All of the Bears beat would have been scrambling, and then I could have revealed on the air that my source was that video, because there's no way George McCaskey goes to the airport for someone he's not hiring. There's just no way.
Makes all the sense in the world.
I'm mad at myself. I had the thought, and I didn't pull the trigger. I mean, it would not have held up in, like, journalism ethics or something like that, but I absolutely had the thought, well, oh, okay, this guy's here. We're going to talk to someone who knows him, played with him, texted with him today, coming up in 10 minutes. But the new general manager from the Bears was a finalist for the Carolina Panthers job last year, and he told BuffaloPlus.com about what he learned going through that process.
That whole process might have been one of the bigger events in my life, and especially as a personnel man. Once you finally put your philosophy and how you want to run a front office, how you want to build a team, what type of coaching you like, the type of players that you look for, and you put that on paper and you spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing that, then you present it in a good way to ownership and another head coach. You gain confidence in yourself on how to do it, but you also have a different perspective on your own team and how you want to move forward in your own career and how you look at your roster and what you want to do next. And someone gave me great advice too after this, is make sure you know every situation that comes up moving forward and how would you deal with it, and then how the Chiefs do. Because at the end of the day, I don't make the decisions here, but I give my opinions. But write down what you would do in those situations and build off of that, so you're getting repetition as a lead man in the front office. So that experience has been great. It's given me a ton of confidence, and I look forward to whatever happens in the future.
It's pretty cool stuff. He was a finalist for the Giants job this year. That went to Joe Shane. He was a finalist for the Vikings job and was supposed to interview with them a second time tomorrow. So this was an in-demand candidate, and who, at least between the Bears and the Vikings, it's a pretty good indicator that he really likes Justin Fields and believed that this was the better of the two positions.
You know, I have a really positive reaction when I hear him talk, and we've listened to more than just that clip. There have been some clips earlier on that we played, and it's like a 12-minute video that's out there. And it does sound good. He sounds matter-of-fact, sounds thoughtful, but it also is so different than Ryan Pace. So it's a product of the day, and we've been saying it all day. We have to admit the implicit bias that comes with hearing a different voice. I'm tired of Ryan Pace's nothingness. I'm tired of the empty vagaries that he has delivered, and with such incredible lack of frequency, which makes them all the more insulting when he does. So you hear somebody talk without the responsibility and without the consequence in a relaxed way, and you're not used to them, their tone and their delivery. It's like, oh, I will look forward to hearing from this guy. But that's part of the implicit bias of a day like this.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to hear, it's funny you say that, I was surprised to hear the promo running of Campy making the announcement and Bernstein's initial reaction of, it's another over-promoted scout. That's all of them.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think these people get their first jobs?
Yeah.
They were either director of college scouting, director of pro scouting, or director of player personnel. Like, it's very rare that a GM is a coach or a GM is like a numbers guy. Like, it's you. This is what happens. Like, you're hiring a first-time general manager with a background in scouting,
yeah,
unless you are hiring someone who had done the job before.
Well, if we've done
that, was always going to be the case for this hire, because that's how all of them get their jobs. I was saying to Tanny during the break, and he goes, "Yeah, you know what I don't like about this head coaching candidate? He's just an overhired coordinator." That's all of them.
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing I'll say in Bernsie's defense, and boy, that's rare, is that Omar Khan was a more of a structure guy, and that was intriguing because the Bears,
but not
be
a
like
scouting guy.
Not a scouting guy. So he would have been an over-promoted structure guy.
He would have been an over-promoted quant or math guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, like, you look at all of the general managers in football. They have scouting backgrounds. You know what I mean? Like, that, it's true that he started as a scouting intern, and then he worked his way up, and now he has the top job. But, like, that's – unless you were going to hire someone who had done it before, like, unless the criteria was it can't be a first-time coach, it can't be a first-time coordinator, it's got to be Jeff Ireland, you know, like, it's got to be Rick Smith. Well, if you're not hiring one of those people for the job, it was always going to be someone with a scouting background who got the top job.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who knows him well, was talking to him today, played with him in college. His college teammate, Tyrone Pruitt from BC, talks Ryan Poles next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There will be an onside kick.
Oh, it was hit first by a Virginia Tech player, so that ball is live.
Eagles say they have it. It didn't travel 10, but Ahokie touched it first.
Right.
And that puts it in play. Josh Morgan, the receiver on that hands team. And Tyrone Pruitt, number 48, comes up with the recovery.
12 yards is what you're looking for right now if you're Matt Ryan.
Plenty of time. Cannot take a sack here. Ryan will fire.
Oh,
the end zone.
Oh!
Open for a touchdown is Callender. And Lane Stadium goes silent with the 11 seconds to play.
That's right. He might be a consultant now, but don't worry. We got a highlight ready for him. Tyrone Pruitt. That's 2007 BC against Virginia Tech. He was a multiple-year teammate with new Bears general manager Ryan Poles. Our executive producer Shane Reardon tracked him down. He's still close with him. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tyrone, thank you so much for the time, man. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
We're doing very well. What can you tell Chicago about? Well, let's just start here, actually. What's your relationship like with Ryan Poles?
We were teammates. We came in together at BC. You know, he's just been grinding it out in KC. We stay in touch. We're in a group chat with some other teammates. So, you know, we say hello when we can. And, yeah, I wish him the best.
It's cool.
Definitely come up for a game this year for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Yeah, to start to take advantage of the situation. Tyrone, this is the day where we reach out for character witnesses. We want to get to know, Ryan Poles as best we can. So tell us what he was like as an offensive lineman. You going against him in practice at BC. What was it like to practice with Ryan Poles?
I mean, he was a pretty quiet guy off the field. Came from a football family. His dad was an offensive lineman at BC as well, but was a tough, gritty, really smart football player. We all kind of came in together. Matt Ryan was our year as well. And I believe our last year, he ended up getting hurt, actually. I think he would have had a good chance of playing, having a decent career in the NFL, if not for that. But was a big, strong, athletic kid, smart, always one of those guys that always did the right thing. Not surprised to see him get an opportunity to be a GM at all.
One of those guys who always did the right thing.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. Nowadays, when you keep in touch with him in Kansas City, like what's he like now, you know, removing college and being a player from the equation?
Just gets a little more nervous about stuff. You know, we chat, but he kind of, you know, keeps things close to the vest. I know earlier in the season, they weren't playing as well, and, you know, he was a little more nervous about the team, injuries, COVID, stuff like that. But, you know, he does the work. He's a hard worker, family man. He's been with his wife since I've known him. You know, got two kids, you know, just a good, wholesome family. I mean, he's built for the Midwest.
Man, that's awesome. Built for the Midwest is Tyrone Pruitt, the former teammate of Ryan Poles. There's something special about that connection with your college guys, man, you know, and when you're going through it in your life, whatever it is, his happens to be an NFL front office. It's probably been really good for him to have you guys, especially with the football knowledge. Like, has yeah. What kind of stuff does he share about football? Like when he's talking to you guys and expressing it, just the difficulties of scouting or the competition on the field. What does he share, Tyrone?
Well, he's worked his way up. So obviously he started off as a scout that was driving, you know, miles and miles to go see college players and stuff like that. You know, he'll share stuff like, you know, we'll ask him about different college players, different NFL players, you know, are those guys really the real deal? You know, what's the situation like? You know, things like that. But, you know, in that chat, we have a lot of guys that, you know, have a lot of experience that have played a while. You know, he keeps things close to the vest, so he's not really going to give us an answer. You know, we've been asking, you know, about what hires are going to come through, but, you know, he's not giving us any answers right now, so I'm sure we'll find out when everyone else does.
What does Ryan Poles think of Justin Fields? Has he come up in the chat?
He hasn't. He has not. I can say he is best friends with Matt Ryan, so that'll be interesting.
Ryan Poles is best friends with Matt Ryan, right? We had read that. So has Dan Quinn yeah. come up in the chat, perhaps?
Dan Quinn has come up. One of my colleagues is actually Joel on Dunbar. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Joel on Dunbar, sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he actually, his desk is like right down from mine. He's from upstate New York, just like Poles. But, you know, we were talking about all the possibilities and the different BC connections and Dan Quinn. You know, just speculating, but again, Poles isn't going to really give us anything, but, you know, my old position coach, Bill McGovern, is, you know, the Chicago Bears coach, so we're hoping they keep him on. His wife actually reached out to me and said, tell Ryan to keep Bill here. I don't want to move. So, you know, Brian Flores is one of our old teammates as well, so I hope he gets an interview as well.
I was gonna ask you about Brian Flores. I was impressed. I've been advocating for him. Guy wins 19 games the last 2 years with that Dolphins roster. But then all this reporting comes out that says he's a task, you know, master. He's micromanager, tough to work with. What do you think about Brian Flores?
I mean, he's a good friend of mine. He was a mentor of mine at BC. We played the same position. You know, I live in Miami, so I've gone to a couple of games and spoke to him. I mean, the reality is he spent 15 years with Bill Belichick. You know, that'll do something to you in terms of coaching, the way you see things, the way you want to run your organization. I think also the GM, the head coach, and the owner have to be on the same page about, you know, certain things, the quarterback situation. So I think a lot of those things led to him not being in Miami anymore, and those things are important. Like, whoever comes in is going to have to decide, is Justin Fields the guy, or do we need someone else to come in? And I feel like the quarterback, the ownership, I mean, the head coach, the owner, and the GM have to be on the same page, or that's just not going to work. So that's important. I'm sure he's considering Eric Bieniemy as well, a guy who he's worked close with over the years. So I'm sure he'll be a top candidate too.
Man, yeah, it's interesting. Have you ever talked about Justin Fields with Brian Flores, Tyrone?
I have not.
Can you please do that for us? And then kind of like,
would you mind reaching out? See, that's interesting. We wonder if Brian Flores, if Brian is like, you know, with the relationship with Ryan Poles like this, and having gone through what he went through, whether Brian Flores would be ready to have a more cooperative situation, or if he's a guy who wants all the power like Bill has up there in New England. What do you think?
I don't think it was a power thing. I just think that, you know, you guys know, I don't know if any of you guys are married or not, but anytime you have a big decision like that, if everyone's not on the same page, it doesn't make sense. I kind of harken back to, remember the Jamarcus Russell situation when Lane Kiffin didn't want him. Obviously, it, you know, panned out that Lane Kiffin was right, but Al Davis was certain that this guy was the guy. So I feel like if you're a head coach and your ownership don't agree on this guy being the guy, like, your head coach is the one who sees him every day in practice. Especially as a defensive coach, you kind of know the players that you don't want to be coaching against and really kind of what they can do. So I feel like whoever goes in there, I think Justin Fields can be the guy. He was, you know, I thought the best quarterback coming out this year. So, you know, but the head coach has to be on page, whether that's Dan Quinn, whether that's Brian Flores, and they have to have a plan. You know, we're going to give him X amount of years to do whatever to see if he can show that he's a franchise guy. Because the reality is, everyone that got fired this year, the quarterback situation was the issue. So if you don't get that together, Brian won't be there very long, and neither will the head coach.
Tyrone Pruitt is our guest, a teammate of Ryan Poles, new Bears general manager back at BC, along with Matt Ryan. He knows Brian Flores. He's in a big group chat with Poles. You talked to him today or since he got the gig? Like, what type of insight can you give us on that? Like,
well,
how he's feeling now?
We've been texting him in a group chat, but he hasn't responded back. I'm sure, you know, he'll get to us. You know, everybody in the world is probably reaching out to him right now. So I'm sure later in the day, he'll say something, but he won't give us anything.
I believe you.
He won't give us anything.
The owner of the Bears, George McCaskey, picked him up at the airport, and he had a sign like a limo driver would have, and he was, you know, so a Bears fan at the airport recognized him, and the sign said Ryan Poles' hometown of Canandaigua, right, the Finger Lakes region up there in New York.
Yep, upstate New York.
Right. So, does that mean a lot to Ryan Poles? Like, is he just like a ton of hometown pride? Because we were like, why is the owner of the Bears picking him up like he's a limo driver? Like, what do you think that connection was all about there?
Yeah, I think so. I remember because it was in driving, and I'm actually from Boston, but my roommate was Joan Dunbar, who was from Syracuse, and they used to go home a lot. And I know his parents used to come up a lot. I think it was like a 5 or 6 hour drive from BC, but I'm pretty sure it's a small town, really close knit, very family oriented. So I'm pretty sure he holds it very close in his heart.
It's what do you guys talk about in terms of the games? Like, Jolon Dunbar probably brings up that Meineke Car Care Bowl where he returned a couple fumbles for touchdowns. I mean,
we don't talk about our time at BC as much, more so how bad BC is now compared to when we were there.
So there's no Ryan Poles block. Like, Ryan doesn't bring it. You remember when I hammered that dude from Navy in the bowl game?
No. Well, not as much.
We're assuming that we're going to get a chance to talk to him. So, like, what can we drop to you know, ingratiate ourselves to Ryan Poles, that we've really done our homework?
Wow. That's a great question. Oof. God, so many years ago.
Could be anything from the chat.
Maybe just I don't ask him about, you know, early morning lifts and being really close buddies with Gaz Deschereles. I'm sure he got some good stories. I don't even guys know who Gaz Deschereles was. He played with the Lions. He was an offensive lineman as well. He was a first-round pick, I think, in 2007 or 8. But they're really close as well. And they did a lot of, you know, crazy stuff.
That's what we want to know, the crazy
I'm sure
stuff.
You get Matt Ryan on the show. He'll probably give you some more even crazier stories.
Again, you can help us get Matt Ryan on the show. Is Matt Ryan in the group chat?
He's not in that group chat. No, he's not in that group chat.
Okay.
So I have a question. Are you guys pretty sold on Justin Fields?
That's a good question.
Yes.
That's an awesome question. Yeah. We believe that Matt Nagy was a big, big problem, as well as the offensive line, and that he didn't have a chance to learn like a young quarterback should. So, yeah, we're still pretty high on him. What do you think?
I mean, I was really high on him coming out. And I'm still high on him. Obviously, you know, you got to be in the right situation. Most people are system players in the NFL. So, you know, you got to get guys protected. You got to have the right calls. You got to have the right development. But I mean, I was hearing Matt Nagy was a quarterback whisperer before he got there, no?
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way.
Yeah, it was probably my fault. Yeah, Tyrone, we're not talking about old stuff, okay? We're looking to the future here with your good buddy Ryan Poles.
What would you guys feel about Eric Bieniemy if he became the new coach?
We just lived it, man. With Nagy,
oh, yeah,
so it's hard.
Nagy was a Reed disciple. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So it would not be popular with the masses.
Tough sell in this.
I see. That makes sense.
All right. Well, Tyrone, if you think of anything else, or if you want to connect us with him, or if you want to add us to the group chat, or whatever the case may be, feel free to call back. But we appreciate the insight into Ryan Poles. All right, man.
No problem, man. I think he'll make some good decisions, man. He's a good evaluator.
Good to know.
That's the number one prerequisite for the job. Thank you. Yeah. Tyrone Pruitt, his college teammate at BC, and his good friend. We all have the college group chat.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, and he was holding back. Shane, were you nervous? We were like walking the tightrope, hoping that was good. I thought it went well. Don't worry.
And we were a little nervous at the front. We do have to break because we have some spots after getting by five. But you get nervous with that kind of stuff. But
I know
he saved it.
Yes. And it's fun just to get inside the group chat for a little while. He's just a dude. You know?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what he could have spilled there? We got off the record questions. Danny's open crushes me. You'll all enjoy it. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.